Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Shogger, how are you?
I'm doing well today, buddy. Just being super dad and getting the kids some dinner. Just me and the boys, so it's macaroni night.
Wow, I'd be super dead. I thought you were going to tell me you were ordering Papa John's next. That'd have been awesome.
Actually, that's what we did the other day, actually.
That's such so a dad thing.
We've done the pizza night. Now it's macaroni night.
Yeah, my dad was always homemade hamburgers. They were sick good.
Oh yeah, that's good.
And then when we got older, I remember one summer my mother and sister, they went away for like a whole month, and it was just my dad and my brother and I, and I think I was, I don't know, 14 or 15. Maybe I was even older. We barbecued every day, and it was just like, you know, I don't think we had a salad for like a month or anything.
Well, when it's just dad, right? Like, I remember, and so I had two brothers, it would just be dad. If mom was away at a singing competition or something, it was like, it would be steak and beans. And then I remember we'd go to the video store. And that was back in the day when they had VHS and beta. We were the rogue people that had bought the beta machine. We bet wrong on that one. And so you'd go through the video store picking out movies, and they'd have a little tabs hanging. And if it was VHS and it was a red tab. And if it was beta and it was in, it was a white tab. And my dad used to rent the best movie. We'd get like Revenge of the Ninja and Ninja Return 6. We'd have like four or five ninja movies that we'd sit and watch and eat our steak and beans and watch movies that were just, I mean, nobody in today's day and age would ever watch a movie like that with a 9-year-old, but it was wicked.
Well, let's get to a lot of things, NHL. We'll get to the orders in a second. But
sure.
Did you watch the Flames game last night?
Yeah, no, I saw the tail end of it and then watched the full highlights. It was pretty ridiculous. Once again, and we talked about this earlier in the week, would you bet against the Calgary Flames? How do you bet against the Calgary Flames and they do it again?
Yeah, I'd still bet against them, not to beat out LA. But now suddenly it's them and the Jets, really. The Jets have to be more concerned than the Kings. Like, they, you know, the Flames, I'll say this. Like, people say, hey, they work hard. They work hard in the right areas, and they have to go get the puck because they don't have it very often. They get outshot all the time. Right,
yep.
Like, to score four goals on seven shots in the final 40 minutes is just freakish.
Yeah, that just doesn't, it just doesn't happen very often. But this is a season in the making, though, right? This is the way this team is built in their heads, is they're never out of a game. Like, when you watch other teams play that don't have that, and normally teams catch this in the playoffs. There's always a team that has great comebacks in the playoffs. But for a team to do it the way the Flames have done it in the regular season and be able to stay in games and battle their way back into games, it's been going on all year long. So when you watch a Flames game now, and you tell me, if you're watching the game, are you sitting there at, what was it, 2-0 in the early going thinking they're out of this? Or is it just fait accompli, you know they're coming back? So if we're feeling that watching it, imagine how they feel sitting on the bench. They know they're coming back.
Yeah. No, they definitely have confidence, and, you know, the placebo effect, whatever you want to call it, but they're a team that definitely believes in themselves, and they don't get stressed out when they're down a few goals.
No, they don't. And like I said, it's almost like everybody in the building, including the guys they're playing, know they're probably coming back. And how do teams let it happen over and over? They can't seem to put their foot on the Flames' throats when they have them down, and eventually the Flames battle their way back in, and, you know, this time it's a veteran in stage, and like, they're down 2-0, what, 3 minutes into that game, right? Then it's staging, it's Goodrow, it's the old guys, it's the young guys, staging with his seventh of the year. I mean, it's not like he's their big scorer, right? But they find guys, and then their power play kicks in and makes a difference for them, and they pull out a couple of goals ahead because a couple of young guys and Monahan and Goodrow on the power play, and then the next thing you know, you know, they're just piling them into the net, and Anaheim ends up, and that wasn't just any team they're playing. I mean, we all agree the Western Conference is the stronger of the two conferences. That was one of the best teams in the West that they did that to. So how can you not believe?
That's a great story for the Calgary Flames. There's no debate about that. And you know what? Sometimes the best moves you don't make help you. Remember, they wanted to trade Dennis Weidman for anything last year, and
yep.
And now he's playing 30 minutes a night at crunch time.
No, absolutely. And sometimes, like you said, it's those moves that you don't make. You hang on and you think the guy will turn it over or get a new lease on life. You sort of sit, you stand pat with what they've got. And, You know, like I was sitting there last night, and when I'm watching these highlights, I'm thinking, it's not like Anaheim has got it in cruise control. I mean, they've lost two in a row, and they're in a battle for the conference title. I mean, they're in a serious battle. They could very well end up facing Nashville in the Western Conference Final, and this, you know, it could be for home ice advantage.
Oh, yeah.
So they're in a significant battle with Nashville and saying that game meant a lot to them as well.
Well, they dominated the game, man. Look at the shot clock. Yeah. They're all over.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
They just they couldn't score, and they didn't really get any saves at all, and their penalty kill wasn't great. Calgary was 33% on the power play, which definitely helps. You know, it's funny right now when you look Nashville, Anaheim, and the Anaheim Ducks, like a lot of people, even throughout the year, even when the Ducks were at the top, a lot of people felt, if I'm ranking the top teams in the West, I still don't have Anaheim at the top, right? Most people still think St. Louis and Chicago, and now that Minnesota has goaltending, they've got to be in the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would include Minnesota with the two or three elite teams in the conference. Like, I would put Nashville near the top. I'd put St. Louis near the top because they're so well-rounded and they finally have some scoring. I think Chicago, even without Kane, they've got a lot of extremely good players. They're put together well. So, I mean, to me, it's like Nashville, St. Louis, Chicago, Anaheim, and then Mini is kind of, to me, a little bit of a tear down from them. But for sure. I mean, they're like Anaheim. I still think Anaheim is an extremely good team. They're well-rounded. When they get goaltending, I mean, that is a heck of a good team. You look at their lineup. I still don't like the Smith-Pelly trade. And I love the trade, the guy they put, the D-man they pulled out of Pittsburgh. I think it's a really good team. I put them up in a little bit of a different echelon than Minnesota.
Really? Minnesota just doesn't give up much. And that, like, they're not necessarily exciting, but you know, they could easily match Nashville defensively.
Yep. World-class defenseman and a top three or four goalie in the league right now. I mean, those are the two common denominators of those teams, right? World-class defenseman slash pairing and fantastic goaltending. And then, you know, they don't, you know, their offense has been similar to Nashville's in output this year, but it's that goaltender and that defense that sets them apart. And it's as good as anybody's.
Yeah, like I just, and Minnesota, surprisingly, you know, Minnesota fires more shots on goal than every team except Chicago and Nashville. Right,
yeah.
Like they, those teams actually
don't give up a lot either.
They don't give up a lot at all. They've given up the fewest shots. Them and St. Louis, fewest shots in the NHL. So
yeah.
It's and the LA Kings, but they've played fewer games, so that'll likely come up. But it's you know, the West is really tight. The Winnipeg Jets, Sugar, are the team now who 3 weeks ago they looked really comfortable in a playoff spot,
yeah.
And now they find themselves in the second wild card position, only 1 point ahead of the Kings.
Well, and I know we talked about it yesterday, but just reeling too. I mean, what a crushing loss that was, and for that to happen that way. So we'll see what Paul Maurice and company are made of, because they got 5 wins in their last 10 games. They're in an absolute battle for their playoff lives. They've got a pretty good team breathing down their neck in the Los Angeles Kings. San Jose they're not playing, you know, I mean, they've got 4 wins in their last 10 games, but they've got a couple of good teams breathing down their neck. We're going to see what that team's made of. And to lose a game like that, have their guts ripped out like that, we'll see what kind of rebound there is. They need to go on a little bit of a run. I mean, they need to pick up 3 out of 4 even. You know, just go on a run and give themselves a little bit of breathing room, because they didn't take advantage of it before. And that's how tight it is this year. Now they're just, you drop a few games and now they're just in absolute peril.
Ryan Rashog joins us for Rashog Report, brought to you by the Golf Den. Sugar, 3-on-3, the GM meetings are coming up right away.
Yeah, I'll be there, actually.
Yeah, I think we're going to see it in the NHL next year. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a really good chance. I mean, the returns from where it's been seen are good. I think it's exciting. I like it. Now, what is the format like? Like, how it goes 4-on-4 right away and then 3-on-3?
Right now in the A, they're playing, it's basically 7 minutes if it gets to it, right? They play 4-on-4 for the first 3 to 4, and then they switch at the whistle and go to 3-on-3.
Yeah,
and
so they've just had after the first whistle after a certain time,
yes.
And they switch it to 3-on-3?
Yeah, yeah, they don't switch on the fly to 3-on-3, no.
Yeah, see, and that's interesting, because when you watch 4-on-4 hockey, there's way fewer whistles.
Mm-hmm.
and you wonder how much of the three-on-three time just gets eaten up. I mean, they'll go a couple minutes without a whistle.
Yeah, well, I think they have it three. They have it 3 minutes of four-on-four for that reason, right? And then usually, yeah. But the AHL, they've cracked all the numbers, and their shootouts are down like 30%.
And I'm okay with that. Like, I mean, I like a good shootout too. And at the end of the night, I think fans deserve to walk out of the building feeling like there was a winner and a loser. I hate the ties. So I'm okay with it all ending in a shootout if it has to, but they can make the whole thing more entertaining. I don't know why you wouldn't give it a go. And the thing about 3-on-3, and with that extra point on the line, we'll see some awesome stuff. Like, we will. We'll see some extremely entertaining fire wagon type stuff because teams will be going for it hard. So I want to see it. I'd like to see it. I don't mind the shootout, but if they can cut them by 30%, and add entertaining type goals. I mean, how many breakaways and 2-on-1s and all those sorts of things are we going to see? I think it'll be thrilling. You get the best players in the world doing those things. I think it would be fantastic.
Oh, all over. When I was doing AJHL games, that's the first time I saw it, and I loved it. I was a huge fan of it, and I've talked about it for years, saying why doesn't the NHL go like the best players in the world doing this? I think fans would be extremely entertained by that.
Yeah, no, I think so. And I don't know, like, I'm assuming it'll have some traction and it'll be something that that they agree to. Whether we see it as soon as next year or not, I mean, you'd think. They've done the experiment, they've looked at it. So, I mean, I hope they do. I hope they do.
Oilers give up a shorthanded goal in the first 4 minutes of the game tonight, and I can tell you, Oiler fans will not be impressed with the decision making by Justin Schultz on that goal. I'll just say that.
Spoiler alert
for anybody. Spoiler alert for that one.
I know my son's got hockey tonight, so I'm taping the game and going to watch it later. There's nothing worse than watching like watching Oiler hockey is bad enough when they're losing this much. Watching Oiler hockey when you know the score already is painful to stay awake for. So no more spoiler alerts while you have me on it. After this radio thing is done, I'm just going everything off, phone off, everything off, because I cannot watch an Oiler game if I know what the score is.
I know you can't turn your phone off. I'm just going to text you throughout the night now, just random.
Don't.
I'll text
do
you a question, and then in the middle of the question, I'll just put in the score.
you would be that guy. Thanks,
Sean, let's talk about this tomorrow. Blah, blah, blah. 2-0. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, that'd be awesome. Nice. A few other quick things about the Edmonton Oilers. Strudz is saying he doesn't care because Gazzik, he doesn't think, should be on your roster anyway, or Ryan Hamilton. My concern, Ryan, is it's...
Strudz doesn't think Gazzik should be on the roster?
No, he's saying he's not going to debate over a 12 or a 13th forward. He doesn't think it's an issue.
He doesn't care enough about that spot. Yeah.
To me, it's not so much
that's
about...
funny considering he was... I mean, no disrespect to Strudz, but I mean, for the last few years of his career, he was kind of that 5th, 6th. Yeah, defense. No, was that guy.
So it's very true. My thing is, it's not so much the player. It's, again, the situation of, do I trust that they're evaluating NHL players correctly? Because we've seen how many they've moved out and not replaced with similar or better players, right? And to me, and not saying they're moving out Luke Gazzik, but Ryan Hamilton is a career AHLer. He can't skate well enough to be in the NHL. He's never worked hard enough, or he just simply can't do it, one of the two, to get to be an NHL skater. Yet, you know, he's played 423 AHL games. Great for him. You know, he keeps living the dream, and that's awesome. But he's not an answer yet. And I'm not saying Luke Gazdick is, but Luke Gazdick is clearly a more effective player. The stats say it. The analytics say it. Everything says it. But the Oilers don't see that. And we've said this about many other players, Sagar, and that, to me, is the concern.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. And, I mean, this goes back a ways, too. And it's not like they've been wrong on every single thing they've done, but in terms of evaluating what they need and where, you know, where a player is in his development, and they've made a few of these mistakes in the past. And you can go back to, you know, when Kevin was running things, and it's the ones that fell through. It was looking to get Heatley when he was at that stage in his career when it was heading downhill fast. It was trying to get who was the one guy that didn't want to come again? They thought they'd traded or they thought
Nylander?
They'd find him. What's that?
Nylander.
That would have been a train wreck had that been able to happen. And then it's
Clarkson.
Letting Curtis Glenn cross go. And then it's having to choose between a first round pick in Pouliot or a, you know, a guy that was drafted a lot later in Brodziak, and they go with Pouliot. Well, you know, he's out of the league, and Brodziak's carved out a great career for himself. It's just kind of over and over again. It's these decisions that you kind of go, do they know what they're looking for? So I think it's totally fair to question overall the organization's ability to pinpoint and make good, solid decisions on guys and their potential. I think that's as much as drafting goes. I think it's, you can say the same thing about their NHL decisions that they've made.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the pro stuff's been a bigger issue than the amateur scouting. The amateur scouting, I think, has been okay. It's the development has been a bigger issue. Like, sure, they've made a few bad picks, but every organization's made bad picks, right? Bad's maybe the wrong word, just picks that don't pan out because, you know, there's only so many jobs and only so many guys that are going to pan out.
Yeah, for sure. And so now you've got your NHL roster and you got to make good decisions. And, I mean, Ryan Hamilton, like... I mean, Dallas Eakins was a big fan of his, brought him over along with Will Acton, right? They've moved on with Will, fine. Ryan now with the big club. I don't know. The only thing I can think of is that he does things away when he's in the American Hockey League that it has to make sense to those kids down there. So, in other words, he does things the right way. He's a leader. He's a good player. He goes about his business the proper way, and the organization needs to say, guys who do that will be rewarded. And so the kids in OKC see that and go, okay, if I do things like him, I will be rewarded. I will have my chance. And maybe it's about sending that proper message to a relatively young group in Oklahoma City, all trying to get to where Ryan Hamilton, through hard work, has earned his way to get to. So that would be me maybe saying that's part of the message the organization is trying to send by having him here, extending them because they know they want them either here in relief or in the American League for sure. Maybe it's about message sending.
I sure hope not, because he's
never mind that theory, eh?
Yeah, well, I hope not, because if that's the guy you're using it, like, I could see if it was Tyler Pitlick right now, because it's a young player who might have a future. This guy got no future, right? If I'm Curtis Hamilton, I'm thinking, why am I not up there? Because I might be up there in 2 years.
Yeah.
Ryan Hamilton's never going to get here.
Well, maybe what they're saying is do things the way this guy does things and you'll get here one day. Mm. And maybe that's what the organization is trying to say by having him here. Do the right things and you'll be here. Because by all accounts, Ryan is that guy that does things the right way, works extremely hard, and that's an example that they want to set. And in really mean nothing hockey, it's not hurting anything to have him here, really.
Yeah.
You think there'll be much of a difference between him and the next guy? Really?
No, I definitely not, right? That part I don't see. I just see, do I trust their evaluation of how to use NHL guys? I question it. And I question that. And I'm not saying that I know more than them whatsoever. That's not what I'm saying. But their track record, and that's their job, has not been very good at all. And that's all we can evaluate, and that's the only thing we can analyze, and it simply has not been good enough.
Yeah. Well, and it's from everything from underestimating the wrong players to overestimating the wrong players.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of gone in both directions, right? They tend to, at times, overestimate a player's capability or where he's at or where he should be thought of in the organization. So they overestimate on one side, and then on another side, they underestimate guys and move on from them, and it ends up hurting them. Tobias Reeder is another good example, right? A guy who was a prospect.
Yeah, he asked to be traded because he thought he wouldn't have a shot here, right? So and he's also a guy.
Just because a guy asks to be traded doesn't mean you have to trade him.
No, but he's also a guy who, no offense, Shogger, like, he's playing on a team that's just as bad as the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
For sure. But, I mean, he has shown this year that he probably belongs in the league anyways.
Does he, or does he belong on bottom feeder teams?
Well, yeah. I mean, he can be that guy that's a third, fourth liner on, the lower end team. I mean, he's a piece, but he costs next to nothing.
Yeah, no, that's
right?
True.
And he can be that guy that you have on your fourth line who you develop yourself rather than having to overpay somebody through free agency to come be on your fourth line.
That's very true.
Right?
Yeah.
That's that guy. Yeah. That's that, what was he, a fourth round pick?
Fourth, yep.
So that's that fourth round pick who's your 13th forward who you're paying $675,000 to, who is your 12th, 13th forward, or even 11th or 12th forward, that it keeps your salary cap in line because you developed them and you're not paying somebody $1.25 million
out of free agency.
Quickly, Shog, are you going to catch crashed ice on Saturday?
You know what? I'm off to Florida for the GM meetings, so I probably won't be out and about, but I'll be watching
kids
for the
Your kids would love it.
Yeah, it looks. I've seen pictures of the course. It looks pretty off the chart.
I drove by that. It's like you're skiing, except you're on hockey skates. Like it is steep. Yeah,
They would be carrying me out of there, I would be on the stretcher, and the snowmobile would be pulling me so fast. Like, would you want to try that even?
Well, you know what? It's one. See, the difference is, would you want to try it at slow speed? Sure, but to try to go fast on it. It's like anything. They're kind of the professionals, and that's why they would do it, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's, you know, daredevil guys out there would definitely want to try it at high speeds. Would they succeed? Probably not, right? Yeah. It is tough.
Yeah. Like, I'm still a reasonably decent skater, but, like, hitting a jump on skates?
That's totally
like,
different.
How is that a good idea? It's just craziness.
I love it. I think it's a highly entertaining sport to watch. Like it's really kind of for the daredevil guy. It's another winter extreme sport. I think it's pretty cool. I've talked to a few of the guys who participate in it and they absolutely love it. So.
Yeah. Well, it'll be cool to see the highlights. Enjoy if you go.
Hey, Shogger. Nah, nothing. I was going to spoil it, but I won't.
Don't tell me.
Have yourself.
Going now. Bye-bye.
Buddy, bench brawl. No, I'm kidding. Have a good one.